It's the show you have all been waiting for, the Hidden Gem Show. Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, a sports ethos presentation hosted by yours truly, Aaron Brewski, and FSWA Hall of Famer Steve Dr. A. Alexander. Today we're going to be talking about players that are waiting to explode. And if that sounds great to you, please consider subscribing to the show for all of your favorite platforms. Like, review, give us all that feedback so we can continue improving the show. Follow us at Aaron Brewski, at Dr. A, and then our news accounts at Ethos Fantasy NBA. Also, keep an eye out on those news accounts, specifically for our 4th of July promo, 24% off for 4 months on an already low promotional price for an all-sport pass that gets you the NFL draft guide, gets you the NFL draft tracker, gets you the NBA draft guide, the NBA draft tracker, and early access to the Brewski 150. So it's the best time to buy. So if you've been sitting there waiting to get your membership up and running, do that. And then you will also keep that price, not the promo price, but, you know, we're trying to run a business here, but you get that low base price for the monthly membership. You'll keep that as long as you keep your membership active. So some good business there. With that shilling out of the way, let me welcome in Steve, Dr. A. Alexander. What's your general strategy? These guys we're going to be talking about here, these hidden gems. I mean, we're really digging deep to find these gems here. What's your general strategy with these guys? Do you find yourself with a lot of these guys on your roster at the beginning of a season? Or are you kind of like, yeah, it's great, you know, you could be a thing, but I'm just not going to go there this time of year?
You know, I'm kind of a sucker for hype. And it sounds dumb, but if you've got a guy, if you've got a gem, a sleeper in the rough or a diamond in the rough or whatever, sleeper in the rye, diamond in the rye, whatever, diamond in the rough, and you start talking about him, and I hear that, it's probably going to impact how I feel about the guy if I don't already have an opinion on him. And I listen to what's out there. I see what's on Twitter. I see reports coming from practices and training camp, and you know, it doesn't take much to make me jump on somebody's bandwagon. Like, if the beat writer for the Spurs is like Stephon Castle, is that even how you say his name? It's either Stephen or Stephon. I think it's Stephon. Stephon Castle looks fantastic in training camp. Nobody can guard him. Something like that. And I'll be like, oh, that guy's on my list. I'm going to target him at the end of my drafts. Like, I look at depth charts. I look at role. And you can see it. A lot of times, it seems like it should be simple, right? Like the year the Pacers came out in like July and said, Jalen Smith is our starting power forward. And I was like, oh, I'm all in. Sign me up. And he was terrible. So, but yeah, it's a multitude of things that goes into influencing me and my super sleepers.
Yeah, I talked about that yesterday with me wanting to surf the perfect wave. Me and Bodie from Point Break wanting to surf the perfect wave. You see these guys. I'm a sucker. I fully admit it. Like, I will go for it almost every time. And it's actually a problem, because if you get too many of these guys on your roster, it can really, really start to hurt your fantasy squad. So you kind of got to pick and choose your spots. But I definitely am always looking for upside. Always looking for upside. You know, those boring picks, yeah, they're not for me. Real quick, let's pay some bills. Bet Online, your number one source for all of your sports betting needs this season, from baseball to golf to soccer, all the way to the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Get every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And then when the game's over, head on over to an online casino and get in a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots. Head to the website today to get into the action. Use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet Online, the game starts here. Yeah, hidden gems. I mean, like, I'll just say the name right now, because, I mean, Isaiah Jackson, I think, is maybe not even hidden anymore. He had a great playoffs. You know, the idea that he mentioned Jalen Smith. Actually, we're going to talk about Jalen Smith here later this episode, but, like, Isaiah Jackson was that guy, and I ranked him so high two seasons ago, and it just didn't happen. They're just so tantalizing. I mean, Jackson to me was such a easy call if you were Rick Carlisle. You got Tyrese Halliburton, and you can just throw lobs to Jackson all day long, and my God, it just was like a pick-and-roll player in Tyrese Halliburton. How could you not do that? And you know, that one burnt me because I think most people were on that wagon. I think he was going in like the eighth round that year. So you're burning a really significant pick on a guy that ultimately didn't even play. The definition of a hidden gem in the sense of that season, I don't think most people in the fantasy universe, other than the real degenerates, were, going for him. But yeah, I guess let's start there. Is he on your list for this upcoming season, Isaiah Jackson, hidden gem? I mean, James Wiseman just got added. Is that enough for Rick Carlisle to mess it up?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's Rick Carlisle messing it up. Miles Turner is still there, right?
Yeah.
So you got Miles Turner, you got James Wiseman, you got Obi Toppin. I just feel like the Pacers have always had a logjam of big men. And I love Isaiah Jackson when he plays. But there were times I used him in DFS and he didn't even get in the game. And I was like, what is going on? I don't know, man. I don't really trust Carlisle and Jackson together. Now, if Turner was out of the way and we knew Isaiah Jackson was a man, I'd be all in. But I'm probably, at this point, I don't see me going after Jackson very often.
Every time I've heard Isaiah Jackson talk, he seems like a really well-adjusted human being as well. Because like when guys that have the talent, and I think Jackson like really, really has a talent to be on the floor at least 20 minutes a game every night. I understand certain limitations he has, but man, this guy... he's just got so much good in his game. It was a game against the Warriors where he got put on an island against Steph Curry late and did a good job. And it's like, how many people in the league that are a big man can actually even attempt that? And the list is not very many. So, yeah, I don't trust Carlisle. I don't trust the Carlisle-Jackson partnership. The fact that they added another big man isn't great, even if it is just James Wiseman. They lost Jalen Smith. Let's spin to Jalen Smith because he's kind of a buzzy name. He signs a deal with Chicago, 3 for 27, I believe, off the top of my head. And he is going to play behind Nikola Vucevic. And is this, though, enough? I mean, if they go out and, I guess, here, I'm going to answer my question with a statement, actually. If they go out and pick him up for decent-ish money, like, does that get him into a rotation for 20 minutes a game and provide the foundation for him to start to tap into some of that upside that we were all excited about a few years ago? And I'll answer it with the statement of, look at what happened with Javon Carter. They paid him to come across and they played him nothing last season. But where are you at with Jalen Smith?
Well, if you look at Chicago's depth chart, you see Patrick Williams at power forward and you see Vooch at center. And then you see a bunch of guys, well, several guys you've never heard of. Adama Sanogo, Matas Buzelis. I'm sure our producer, Andre, is probably friends with those guys and knows their moms and all that. But, you know, me and the average Joe Schmo is not really familiar with those names. So there's a path for Jalen Williams to get a ton of playing time in Chicago. In fact, I love his situation in Chicago way more than I liked him in Indiana. Vooch is getting very old. He's got to be, what, mid-30s. So, and Patrick Williams is sort of like the Chicago version of Jonathan Isaac. Like, I keep hearing all this hype year after year after year about Pat Williams, and it never really happens. So, I mean, all it's going to take is an injury to Williams or Vooch, and Jalen Smith's going to blow up. And even if Williams and Vooch are healthy, I think Jalen Smith has got some, I don't know, six-man potential maybe.
I mean, the archetype is there with Naz Reid, you know, picking it up. He's definitely not a Naz Reid, but the stat set for Jalen Smith is unique as he shoots well, doesn't get you so many defensive stats, but, you know, the shooting and the rebounding and the scoring, potential to step out a little bit further and hit that three. at a greater clip. I mean, it's really there for him. And that configuration that you just described, and I would say all those players, he knows their, Andre knows their moms, and their moms love Andre. They just do. They just love him. Andre, actually, in my ear, just aside from being mad that we're talking about him so much, is mentioning that Vooch apparently is looking skinny on the court. Maybe he's trying to extend his career. If Vooch comes in skinny, you heard it here first on the Andre Limos Overseas Scouting Report, which, by the way, you should check out his Euro Hoops podcast here on the Sports Ethos Network. It is, as in terms of getting the overseas information, like, you're just not going to beat it. So that's great. Thank you, Andre, for wearing so many hats around here and doing such a good job in everything that you do. So Jalen Smith, hidden gem. I think he's not so hidden, but maybe probably on some lists of some type this season. Let's go deeper. I want to talk some Bol Bol. Are you ready for Bol Bol to happen?
I've been ready, man. I was born ready.
Ride the ride? I rode the ride.
Soren, my 17-year-old son, loves Bol Bol. And every time Bol Bol gets traded or signs with another team or does anything at all that creates some sort of news cycle, which a Bol Bol news cycle lasts for what, 7 seconds? I mean, it's pretty quick. It's pretty silent. And it's pretty sneaky, but man, when Bol Bol does something, my kid gets fired up.
It hit hard enough for Michael Malone to, like, you know, because Denver got rid of him. And I think the story with Bol Bol, you know, kind of, if I'm reading behind the lines, is like, maybe he's just off the court, just like a total handful, or maybe he's just completely immature, because with his talent, and, you know, he should just be able to, you know, just be good. But he was good enough for Orlando there that Michael Malone, like, stopped everything and, like, gave him his props. And I don't know if he had waited a week or two, he would might have just held that one back. Yeah, the news cycle for Bol Bol, something else. It's like, okay, can he do it? Like, just talent-wise, can he find a job in the NBA for 24 to 27 minutes per game?
I feel like talent-wise, yes. Well, can he find a coach that's going to give him those kind of minutes? I have no idea. And Bol Bol is the guy I really don't – I know my kid loves him. I want to be a Bol Bol fan. I know basketball fans in general seem to love Bol Bol. Like, he's kind of a guy that people root for. So if you – this is an example. If you have – Bol Bol on your list, Brewski, and you keep talking about him and training camp gets here and you're like, oh, Bol Bol's looking good. I mean, that's enough that I'll throw him on my list and try to draft him late. But I don't, at this point, I just don't know if he's going to play or not.
I wish he wasn't in Phoenix. Like, it feels like there's too much weird stuff going on in Phoenix that he can get lost in the shuffle really quick. Why stay in Phoenix? I don't know. If you're Bol Bol, like, maybe he got comfortable, maybe they got comfortable with him and he's like, okay, I might get some more consistent playing time. He played 11 minutes a game last season for 42 games. You know, blocks, steals, threes. I mean, I think people know the Bol Bol experience by now. Good percentages. And this potential to be sort of uncoverable, like Wemby, the destitute version of Wembanyama. You know, he's got the kind of the release points, and then even just defensively, him standing in the region is going to change shots. So it's like sitting there waiting. In fact, I thought the Kings should have made a play to get Bol Bol, because it would have been an inexpensive Hail Mary at finding that shot blocking 3-point shooting center that you have to pair next to these kind of, you know, bigger brutes that can't slide their feet that play your center position, like, you know, Domantas Sabonis, and you know, even a conversation in Houston with Alperen Şengün. Did I get that one right, Steve?
Şengün. You did. My problem with Bol Bol is he stayed in Phoenix, and let's look at the depth chart. You got Kevin Durant. You've got Royce O'Neal. You've got Nasir Little, who, when he was in Portland, dude, I thought Nasir Little had some breakout potential. So you got those three guys all that can play power forward, and that's sort of where Bol Bol is. He's somewhere in that mix. And then if you think about him over at center, you've got Yusuf Nurkic, and you got Mason Plumlee. So the path that Bol Bol has to an increase in playing time just doesn't look like it's there to me.
That's why I'm like, why did you sign there, dude? Like, just go somewhere else. You know, find a team that needs you. Even like if he's on the court with Kevin Durant, that's like too many, you know, tall glasses of water, all arms and legs guys on the floor.
So Brew, are you are we talking about Bol Bol because you think there's going to be hype on him again coming in this season, and you're telling people not to bite, or are you in on Bol Bol?
I'm not in on Bol Bol. I think he's a hidden gem in the sense that he's hidden. He's real hidden. he's well known, so he's not even really fitting that definition. But he's so hidden that, like, I don't know. If you're in a deep format, you got to take a flyer on a Bol Bol if you're in a 200 player league. And at some point somebody's got to try this thing. Like, and I think my argument was that, like, for Orlando or later Phoenix or whoever could be looking, it's like, if you can make it work, it has the potential to be really, really special, because for 24 minutes a game, even if you want to call him a limited player like that, you just don't see that rim protection with that outside shooting. It just doesn't.
Dude, really, why can't he be in Brooklyn, where Dorian Finney-Smith and Noah Clowney are the power forwards? Like, why can't Bol Bol be there and we get to see him play? Every time Bol Bol gets on the court and gets minutes, he does something fun. Like, there's no doubt about the fact that he's intriguing and he's fun. And, you know, maybe we'll get an injury or two in Phoenix and we'll get to ride the Bol Bol train for a couple weeks this season. But like you said, he's pretty hidden. And maybe I don't understand the concept of a hidden gem, because my guys are, I guess I went with guys that may not be at the top of your head, but they're also not, like, really hidden.
I mean, hidden gems, man. It's different for all folks. I'll go with one that's a little bit maybe more mainstream. Since you mentioned Brooklyn, what about De'Ron Sharp?
I don't know. Claxton is the man, and De'Ron's his backup. And typically,
man, backups, if you watch Brooklyn Twitter, though, they really want to switch that up. I think it's funny because I don't think it's as clear cut as that. But Brooklyn Twitter is like all about it.
Yeah, but Claxton's the one getting the money. So, yeah, I don't know. De'Ron Sharp may be better than Nick Claxton. I don't know. Believe it or not, I did not spend a ton of time watching Brooklyn basketball last year. My net that I have as a hidden gem, I guess, is I feel like, with Mikal Bridges gone, Cam Thomas is going to just blow up. I mean, we're talking about Ben Simmons and Dennis Schroeder and Cam Johnson and Dorian Finney-Smith and Nick Claxton. Like, this is just built for Cam Thomas to go nuts.
He's a unique player, man. He is strong. Like, his physical game is off the chart. Like, and to your point, like, I don't think people even realize that Cam Thomas is one of those guys that almost, and in Isaiah Thomas, the Boston version, not maybe the shooter, I don't know. But like when Isaiah Thomas was super good, you know, getting the MVP consideration, he had that size strength with the low center of gravity, all that combo, like nobody could cover him there for a minute. And it's the same thing with Cam Thomas. So,
and yeah, what you just said reminds me of Jalen Brunson too. Just puts his head down, goes in there with the trees and doesn't care. But yeah, man, I mean, Brooklyn has no offense. Cam Thomas, now maybe Cam Thomas will go the way of Jordan Poole and I'll look like an idiot next year, but And his shooting percentage may ruin your entire season alone, but I don't care. I like guys who can score 50 or 60 points at any given minute. And Cam is that guy, and he's not afraid to shoot the ball.
You heard it here first. Steve likes the cars that go boom.
And Dayron. So we didn't finish up on Dayron. Like, tell me what you love about Dayron.
You know, it's just nothing in particular really jumps off the page, but, you know, a little live wire big man that gets you steals and blocks. And, you know, I think bigs can really climb to fantasy value really quick. And it's the field goal percentage. It's those defensive stats mixed with the rebounds. You know, they're not hurting you typically. He does with the free throw percentage, so don't get me wrong. That's a problem with him. But, like, you know, sometimes these big men won't take a lot of free throws. It's just the equation there for big men to get value is it's good. And I guess they're all in on Claxton. If it was me, I wouldn't have paid Claxton. I would have found something else to do with him and then restarted the big man engine, you know, with Dayron Sharpe. And just sort of see what I have and not get tied into Claxton. I just don't think he's going to, be a top 10 big man during his career. I mean, I like the physical tools. It's just too many problems. Okay. Even if I thought he did take a step forward last year, for what it's worth.
While we're over in Brooklyn, in what universe would you draft Ben Simmons?
None. None.
Good. We're on this. We can agree on that.
Man, you know, a season ago in Sacramento, they really, really, I mean, like, not even joking. Like, and I don't know if this was Monty McNair doing a favor for, you know, Daryl, because, you know, they used to work with each other. And, like, yeah, I'll feed the locals some bit about, you know, Ben Simmons being on the radar as, like, a smart player. And they were literally locally talking about, like, hey, let's trade 4 first round draft picks to get Ben Simmons. Like, that's the stuff I have to deal with in Sacramento. And they'll remind me of the one bad take that I had over the last 15 years. But, like, yeah. that's the stuff I got.
I feel like Ben Simmons is the poster child for the never again draft list.
Oh, man.
Maybe I don't even know, followed up by Zion.
Yeah, I love your Zion hate. It's strong. let's here. I got one that's maybe, like, not so hidden and very visible in the playoffs, but TJ McConnell. Like, assuming he gets played and put into the rotation this season.
Dude, Carlisle did not even want to play him last year. And
how much job security does Rick Carlisle have, do you think?
You know, it's funny because when the Pacers lost in the playoffs,
that to me is the crazy part is that Rick Carlisle kind of, like, how much job security does Rick Carlisle have there?
You know, it's funny because in the playoffs, the Pacers lost, and I thought it was all on Carlisle. Like, what is he doing? And I got on Facebook and I was like, you guys and all my indie brethren, you must not be happy with Carlisle at all right now. And almost every one of them came back and said, oh, man, we had a great season. It was fun. We were way better than we thought we were going to be. And it's all is forgiven and it's all good. Like, they're all good and all in with Carlisle. I don't know if that's the take by the entire fan base, but that's what I got from my friends that's pretty much no basketball on Facebook. So, you know, if it's on Facebook, it has to be true.
That's right. And, you know, it's interesting because I think teams and fan bases, they really do side with coaches way more than they side with players. Like, when Luke Walton here locally was just, like, really, like, I mean, some of the stuff I saw out of that guy was just amazingly bad. And, like, the locals just kept going to the well, like, yeah, no. Luke Walton, he's the man, he's got the experience and blah blah blah. I only bring that up because TJ McConnell, if he's not in the rotation, that's obviously crazy. But when he's in the rotation, I mean, he's like a lock for at least top 100 value, and I don't think we've ever really seen him maxed out. I think McConnell could easily be like a top 50 guy if he ever got cut loose, and you know, if that happens, that's great. But you know, he might not get. If you ask me today, he doesn't get drafted in standard formats. This is a guy who's going to almost guarantee a top 100 value and be a top 150 threat if they ever give him the ball and get out of the way. If something was to happen, like Tyrese Halliburton, you know, and he was to get the full run, or if he got traded to a team. I know we floated the idea of Phoenix, right? Like if he got traded to Phoenix and he played 30 minutes a game, he'd probably be a top 50 guy.
Well, and Halliburton got hurt last year, and Halliburton might get hurt this year. And if he does, I don't think we're going to see Nembhard running the point this year. It's going to be McConnell. And my whole thing about, you know, Carlisle wasn't even going to play McConnell last year. Well, McConnell earned his way into that spot, and he's definitely there this year. Like, I don't think there's any question that Carlisle needs to play McConnell and let McConnell guard tough players that they face, because he'll get in there and do it. And the other guy, just like him, is Peyton Pritchard in Boston. Like, McConnell and Pritchard are both deep league point guards that you guys will want to look at. Even if it's a 12-team league, I don't have a problem burning my last pick on either one of those guys and see what happens.
Yeah, especially Pritchard. I mean, both of them, actually. I don't know which one I'd have ranked higher, but Pritchard, he got paid, so that's key. Really great performance in the playoffs. I mean, man, who makes two heaves in the playoffs, almost like making it look easy? That's crazy. And when he shot the second one in the finals, and nobody doubted that it was going in.
Oh, dude, I knew it was in when he let it go.
It was such a crazy, like, just to know that it's going in and then have it happen, and the sledgehammer effect that it had on the game. Oh, what a moment for him. He'll live off that moment for the rest of his life. Like, that dude doesn't pay for a drink in Boston ever for the rest of his life.
Hey, Brew, I've got one. You know how I feel about old guys, right?
Yeah, you don't like them.
I really don't, which is weird because I'm the epitome of an old guy. But there are two old guys that I've got my eye on this year simply because of their spot on the depth chart and in the rotation. And that is this is almost shocking that I'm going to say this, but Eric Gordon.
Yes, I love it. I love it.
Eric Gordon is currently sitting at the top of the depth chart in shooting guard in Philadelphia. I don't trust him health-wise. I don't trust him age-wise, but man, I think he's going to play a role for that team, even if it's just being the designated three-point guy. Like, he's sort of like a shorter, darker version of Kyle Korver reborn. Like, Eric Gordon is going to be out there bombing threes for Philly. And then the other guy that I'm sort of fired up about, who very quietly had a great year last year, is Bogdan Bogdanović for the Hawks.
Yeah, Bogdan, man. I mean, I wish we were more aggressive there, because, like, you know, I've watched Bogdan up close, and the knee thing was just constantly dogging him. And then, you know, locally, like, they wanted to keep him, and I'm like, I don't know, guys, you should probably get rid of him. That knee's like not hanging in there. And then that became the case in Atlanta. And then it almost, you know, a la some of the commentary on Nick Vucevic, where, like, a player realizes the only way I'm going to stay in the league is if I get thinner and I get, you know, because of the injury, and I got to get the weight off the bone. And it was just like, Bogey came into last season just in great shape. And it was like, I think he gets it. Like, this is the season that he's got to really get light and, you know, make the move past that knee injury. And then he did it, and he was just awesome all season. And I think he finished with, like, top, you know, like a third round finish. It's, yeah, I mean, that's a big yes. And then, your other guy, Gordon, though, he's really interesting, because, like, he actually started getting some steals and blocks during last season's run, and he really helped me out for a bit there. I mean, it was off and on for him, but one steal and then a half of a block per game while he's getting you the two threes, the two plus three-pointers, and, you know, pretty good percentages. In general, they're not really moving the needle much, but Yeah, I just think that he's kind of got that unique timing where if he's in the right situation, you might see him get decent enough defensive numbers with the three-pointers and make a little noise there. Not bad.
Now, Aaron, you may think that Ricky Council and Jared McCain are the guys that are running for mayor of Dahlonega, but they're not. They're the backup shooting guards in Philadelphia. Ricky Council and Jared McCain.
Look, Ricky Council like might be able to dunk one of us through the hoop. But I don't think Daryl's bringing Eric over there to sit the bench. And Daryl's got a thing for Eric. So, Daryl, I know you're listening. You know, just give us a little wink and a nod if Eric's going to play 25 minutes per game.
Dude, I love the fact you have a personal relationship with Daryl Morey. It really brings a lot to the show. Also, did you know I went to the same high school that Eric Gordon went to? Or actually, he went to the same high school I went to.
I was going to say, he's shouting you out, not the other way around. Yeah, it's a Kevin Bacon, 7 degrees of separation here.
Six degrees.
Is it six, seven, eight, nine? I don't know. I almost said
seven-minute abs, 6 degrees of separation. Come on.
How's the 7-minute abs going for you over there?
Fantastic. So never looked better.
The analysts of Sports Ethos calendar will be coming out real soon. I don't know who's going to headline. Probably Doc. I got a couple really obscure names here for
folks.
Jairus Walker to go back to your old stomping Pacers. Ground. Yeah. Like, I don't know if he can do it or not, but I swear when he got on the floor, I'm watching this 6'10 dude who's like crouched over the ball and he's dribbling like a guard and then he's just like popping from three. And that I did not know was his game when we came in the league. It was like, okay, he can block shots. He can hit threes. You know, that's all cool and all. And then is he going to play? And then, of course, Carlisle won't play him. And, you know, it's that whole thing again. But, like, I didn't know he was that much of a dribble guy, you know, that he could actually just step up and pull from that distance. Now, everything else, you know, being a block, I felt like it was a shot blocker kind of coming into the league. And then, watching him then, you know, a year in, I was like, I don't know if he can be a defender. So you're closer to that situation. What do you think he is? Is he a defensive guy?
I have no idea, dude. I don't know. He's so buzzy. Like, everybody's talking about Jairus Walker. It seems to me like he's going to be on everybody's super sleeper list. And I don't know if people know why they're even doing it. Like you said, he can handle the ball. He can shoot threes. He's tall. And he's fun. He's fun when he's in there, but he gets such few minutes and so little run. I don't know if Rick Carlisle is going to play him or not. And like, I feel like he's a little bit of a Jonathan Isaac guy. Like, you just hear this buzz and you hear it over and over again. And you start to think, man, I need to jump on this Jairus Walker train before it takes off. And I'm not there yet, man. I have not felt the urge to go all in on Jairus Walker because I just don't know that the path is there for him right now. But I also think that this many people being this buzzy on him can't really be wrong. Yeah, is Nesmith a fluke? Because if Nesmith's going to play small forward, we know Pascal Siakam is not going to not play. So, I mean, there's a bit of a way for Jairus Walker to play, but he's going to have to prove to Carlisle that he's a lot better than Nesmith. And, you know, Nesmith was pretty good last year. So, I don't know. I'm intrigued by Jairus Walker. I'm probably not drafting him.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know if he's on my targets list or not. It's just there is this fantasy upside that, you know, maybe theoretically he could tap into. And, you know, eventually you got to look at it if you're the Indiana Pacers or not, because that's what they do. 40.9% from the field last year in 33 games, 10 minutes per game. He got nearly a triple per game and then 0.8 combined steals and blocks, 88.9% from the foul line on practically no shot attempts. So who knows with that? Okay. Do you have anybody you're just dying to get off your list, or you want to hear some obscure fantasy names?
I've got two more guys. I'm just going to mention them. We can talk about them or not talk about them. I don't care. Terrence Mann for the Clippers with the exit of Paul George. I mean, it's now or never for Terrence Mann. He's at the top of the depth chart right now. I'm curious as to what he does in training camp. I'm going to listen for that. Same with Jairus Walker, man. If I get a report out of Indy that, oh, man, Jairus Walker is tearing up training camp and looks incredible, then I'm going to be like, okay, now it may be time to jump. So I'm curious as to what Terrence Mann does in training camp. He's going to play. Paul George is gone. He's the path and the window is there. So that, and then Denny Avdija, my boy, is not in Washington anymore. He's in the
Portland
cluster known as Portland. Portland's a mess, dude. But Denny should be one of the better offensive players in Portland. And we saw Denny do some pretty cool things last year, albeit they were few and far between when he'd have these major explosions. But he was kind of a double-double machine for a minute there last year. And I think Denny Avdija is going to be good in Portland. I'm kind of fired up.
Yeah, that's a really crazy kind of situation in Portland. I mean, just think about like Scoot Henderson by himself. Like, you know, what's up with that? Like, can that actually be a big step forward? But I've been a fan of his talent probably the entire time he's been in the league. And we got to see that cut loose last season. And he was somebody on our list of free agency transaction week topics that we hadn't quite gotten to yet. So we'll definitely spend some more time on him. Terrence Mann, I actually went bigger on him two seasons ago. And I was really disappointed that he wasn't able to turn a corner because he was great the playoffs prior to that. Had some real big moments, and you just thought, hey, this is the season this guy takes a step forward. It just didn't happen that year for him. I got to close this thing out. Okay, Andre, all apologies to your friend, you know, Nemeas Keita. I hope I got it right. I mean, he was here local in Sacramento. I should be getting this right. But, of course, who knows with me. I really just think this guy's got a good physical component to his game. I think he's got the potential to have a skill set. Boston's a little bit of a weird landing spot for him. They brought him back. So I think, you know, yeah, you get the I guess the upside there is that Kristaps Porzingis could get hurt at any point in time. And then you got Al Horford, who's 500 years old. Nemeas Keita, as the enunciation gets dropped here into the chat. I just like the skill set. I like the fact that he can bang. I like the fact that he's got a little bit of speed. I think he's got, you know, the ability to improve upon his game as he learns how to finish. And when he comes into the game, I think he's going to be a guy that can get you the defensive stats and all the good big man stats. So he's sort of on my radar. I don't know if he will be ultimately on my radar as we get closer to the season. And the last one's pretty boring, but it's Mo Wagner. And yeah, they've still got probably, if they keep Wendell Carter, they still got the three bigs and that makes things a little tight. But, you know, this is a guy that hasn't needed very many minutes to have value in fantasy leagues. He, 17.7 minutes per game last season, able to bring back top 100 value in those. I don't quote me on that. That was an incorrect number. As I was looking, I was like, that can't be right. Much less than that, folks. But when those minutes go up to 20, 25 minutes per game, he's getting you top 130, top 140 value. And I don't know. I like the idea that somebody can come in and be super efficient. He hits his free throws. You know, he's not blocking shots for you, but he's going to score, hit a three every once in a while, and a nice plug-in for your fantasy lineup. And then, hey, what happens if he gets 25, 30 minutes? What if he actually can step into that role for a team. I don't think teams are lining up to do that, but you know, if that happens in a fantasy league for whatever reason, you heard it here first. So I don't know, Steve, any commentary on those guys, or you ready to get on out of here?
They both are kind of blocked. Their path is kind of blocked. I mean, Xavier Tillman and Luke Kornet, Nemeus Kidd is going to have to outplay both of those guys. And like you talked about already, Mo Wagner doesn't really have that big of a path, but like you said, he doesn't need a ton of minutes. You know, have I ever told Bull Bull's daddy, Manute Bull story here?
Let's hear
it real fast.
Yeah.
So Manute Bol was playing for the Sixers. They were staying at the Hyatt in Indianapolis, it wasn't the Hyatt. They were at like the Westin or something. It was a different hotel than all the other teams were staying at back then. But my brother, who very rarely went down to stalk these NBA players with me, decided to come down that day, and he brought his camera with him. And so Manute Bol gets off the escalator. And I walk right up to him, and I'm like, "Hey, Manute, can I get my picture taken with you?" And he's like, "No, no pictures." And I'm like, "Why not?" He's like, "No, no pictures." And he said something about spirituality or something. I mean, it's 30 something years ago, but it was something I interpreted as soul stealing or something. But anyway, so I'm standing there next to Manute, and I look at my brother, who's about 15 feet away, and I'm like, I give him the signal, take the picture, dude. Let's do this. So my brother puts My brother puts that camera up and hits it, and the flash goes off, and Manute like loses it and starts chasing my brother. My brother like runs through a crowd of people and up an escalator and like disappeared for an hour. And Manute never caught him. And I have that picture of Manute Bol and I that we can share one day somehow at Sports Ethos.
My God. This is why you stay to the end of the podcast, folks. If you left before the end, I don't understand why people leave games early unless, I don't know. I guess you could for some reason. But why? Why? Well, you go to a game, hang out to the end. Like, you stay to the end of the episode, you get a story like that. That's an all-timer. I want to see a picture, and I want to see this. At some point in time, there's a statute of limitations on that, and we get to see the picture.
R.I.P. Manute, one of my favorite players.
Oh, that's right. He is passed. Yeah. It's one of those guys that, especially for us old-timers, like just getting to watch him and having him on a poster on a wall, perhaps, is a pretty popular thing that was going on.
He also played hockey for the Indianapolis Checkers, I believe, maybe it's the Indy Ice, minor league hockey team. He suited up and played hockey one night to raise money for charity or something.
Crazy. Man, I'm telling you, this has been a great show, and this is a great way to wrap it up. And that's a sight to behold, to see a man that tall skating on the ice. Thank you very much for all the memories, Manute. And to Bol Bol, we're rooting for you, buddy. We want to see it happen. So that'll do it for this Hidden Gems episode of Fantasy NBA Today. If you enjoyed what you listened to, go ahead and give us a like or a review or subscribe to the show, all that good stuff. It truly helps us out. So we really appreciate you guys supporting us. Keep an eye out for all these promos we're running. There's a 4th of July promo we ran yesterday. It's still active. And if you get to the Ethos Fantasy NBA feed, you'll see tweets on how to take advantage of that 24% off for 4 months, and the All Sport Pass, which has the NFL Draft Guide, the NFL Draft Tracker, which is a great way to draft your team, NBA Draft Guide, NBA Draft Tracker, Brewski 150 access, early Brewski 150 access, I might add. All of this stuff is included in the All Sport Pass, which is at $8 per month. You get to keep that price forever. Also enjoy that discount for the 4 months if you can get that discount. So keep an eye out for the tweets there. That's enough selling out of me for 1 week. Lastly, big thank you to Steve, producer Andre Limos, and you guys as our listeners. You guys make everything go here, so thank you very much for your support. This has been Fantasy NBA Today, presented by BetOnline, a Sports Ethos presentation. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well.